And just to think of what God's done over the past 14 years and what He's going to do in the next 14 if He doesn't come back. And I tell you, it's exciting. And just to see all the familiar faces today and see even on the video there just what God's done. And it's amazing, isn't it? Amen. Let's do it again. That's amazing, isn't it? Amen. And we're glad to see all of you here this morning. We're excited to see what God's going to do today. Want to welcome all of our guests to homecoming, and we're starting revival today. Amen. And so I know sometimes we have services, homecoming and Easter and all the different things, and we're thinking, oh, it's just one of those services. But praise God, it's one of those services. So we're excited. Want you to enjoy church today. If you're a first-time guest, please make sure you fill out that connection card in your bulletin or in your welcome packet. Drop it in the offering plate, and we're excited. I believe the choir will bless your heart today in song, so you listen to them while they sing.
Simply says, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Page 23, starting on the chorus. Let's stand to sing it together this morning. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain. cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of... On that first verse now, you will notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're a family and these folks are so near. When one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family so dear. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family. Turn around and fellowship with each other as the choir comes down this morning.
Brother Brandon. Wonderful singing this morning, choir. Thank you for the good song and good congregational singing. I'm glad I know I've been born again. And, boy, I tell you, every day, if you know you're saved, you can wake up regardless of what the world has to throw at you. You know where you'll spend eternity. And the greatest thing you'll ever know is where you'll spend eternity. Because here's one thing. You may never be rich. You may never be famous. You may never be a captain of industry. But the Bible said it is appointed unto men once to die after this judgment. We're all going to spend eternity somewhere. Amen. It may be by the way of the grave. It may be by the way of the rapture, but you're going to spend eternity somewhere. And the greatest thing you can walk out of here knowing today is where you'll spend eternity. Amen? And so if you don't know, I wouldn't even wait till the invitation. I'd just go ahead and get saved right now. Then you can enjoy the rest of the service, because I know Brother Fry, he's going to preach a good Bible message. And you know what happens? People say, I got my toes stepped on. Really, you didn't. You got your heart pierced. And the best thing can happen, just go ahead and get saved. Then you can sit and listen to the preaching and rejoice instead of feeling that conviction. Amen. And so thank you for the good singing this morning. And we're going to receive our offering now. If you're a guest with us, please, as we said, the only thing we would ask of you, if you want to give, that's great. But if not, that's okay as well. We just want to make sure you fill out that card and put it in the offering plate for us, so we'll have a record of you being our guest. And we're going to pray, receive the offering. You can be seated right after we pray this morning. Brother Kenneth, you pray for us, please.
Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come forward to you, God, this morning with a thankful heart. Thank you, Lord God, for your mercy and grace and precious blood. Thank you, Lord God, for 14 years of blessing this church, Lord. Pray to God you bless it from now on, Lord God, till you come back, Lord. Pray to God for the man of God this morning. You touch him, use him, Lord God. Help him to preach what's needed here today and see souls saved from it, Lord.
Yes.
Pray to God for the offering to give to the giver, Lord. Bless it, multiply it, and see souls saved from it. Pray to God for Spanish ministry, Lord God. Bless it, the bus ministry. Pray to God for those here that's lost, Lord God. You touch them, Lord God. Open their eyes, show them the need for salvation today, and draw them down this altar, Lord. Save them today before it's too late, Lord God. Bless this church. Help it to kindle in your grow, Lord God. See your soul saved. Get the gospel out, Lord God. And we'll thank you and praise you and give you honor and praise for it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Try to live my life to
has just begun, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all He's done. There are many things that I could praise God for, and if I started now until I die, there'd still be many more. If I could mention only one, I'd have to thank Him for His Son, and that's enough to praise the Lord for all He's done. For all He's done, I want to lift my hands to praise Him. For all He's done, I want to live my life to please Him. Even though I don't deserve to live, my life has just begun, and I can't help but praise the Lord for all He's done.
Thank you, ladies. Appreciate the good singing this morning. And I want to go on record saying that God has been real good to me. Can't speak for you. I believe I could. But He's been real good to me. Been real good to my family. Been real good to this church. I want to thank Him. Brother Brandon, every time we've ever seen a great increase in ministry at this church. It's not because of a method. It's not because of a new ministry we've started. It's always been because we've stepped back and said, God, we got to have You. We got to have You. We can't do it. We'll take You. And He's always done it. He's always glorified Himself. And He's been good to this church. And I thank Him for it. Good to have again Brother Fry, Miss Polly with us today. Good to have them home. And boy, they travel all over the country all year long, and this is our homecoming. And several years ago I said, Brother Fry, would you mind, instead of coming preaching our winter jubilee, can we switch it so you guys can be home for homecoming? And we'll just have us a homecoming revival. And they graciously agreed to do that. It's always good to have them here. And don't know how many more times we'll have Him. I told him today, I said, 14 years. I said, the next 14 years we're going to do this. And Brother Fry, you've got to preach the next 14 years of this revival. So I know that'll make you close to 100, amen? 99. So, you know, we're at least planning on that long. If not, we'll just, hopefully, the Lord will come back way before that. And we'll have home coming up there one day, amen. Brother Fry, if you will, you come preach. You give Him your attention. I promise you He'll help you with the preaching this morning. And it's always good to have Him.
Open your Bibles, please, this morning to the book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah, chapter number 6. While you're finding your places in God's Word, let me say it is my joy to be back home at Currytown Baptist Church. Good to have my wife, Miss Polly, with me. We've been married now better than 67 years, working on our 68th year. The Lord stays is coming, we are shooting for being married 75 years. I told someone the other day, talking about age, I'm only 15 years from 100. And if the Lord doesn't come, I've asked the Lord to let me be preaching when I'm 100 years of age. And that's a possibility. I thought about this coming home on homecoming day. We're certainly glad that God led my wife and I to Currytown and our home church and our good pastor, Brother Mike, and his family. And I appreciate the stand. I appreciate the Sunday school lesson this morning. Encouragement to me. I'm glad he's been here 14 years. I was in evangelism when I heard of Brother Mike. And then I heard how the church was growing, took on new life. And then I said, I'd like to meet him. At that time, I was working out of Fundamental Baptist Tabernacle down in Linwood. And we met, remember, at the restaurant. Met at the restaurant. And I just like him. It don't take ever to like somebody or love someone, not knowing that he would be my pastor. And so he now is my pastor. I thank the Lord, talking about this homecoming day. I look down and see people that I used to pastor. And good to see you here today, because this is kind of a reunion, isn't it? And then we see our granddaughter back here, Patrick, and first time I got to hold her was today. That's what you get when you're in evangelism. You don't get to be home a lot, don't get to be with your family. Say this, and I read the scripture. I want to thank the church for your monthly support. God bless you for helping us financially and prayerfully. And I want to thank our Sunday school class for helping us financially and prayerfully. God bless you. If you couldn't, would please, you stand this morning in honor to the reading of God's Word in prayer time. I'll not be long because I know that you have some food down the fellowship hall. And I'll try to be as brief as I can, but then I must be able to do what God's called me to do. In Isaiah chapter number 6, beginning at verses number 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one having 6 wings, with twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. My heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I come before you on this Lord's Day morning. And I come with a grateful and thankful heart that we can again assemble in your house. Then, Father, thank you for the words of David when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, Father, this morning we have worshipped you in Sunday school time, and then congregation singing, choir singing special songs. And thank you, Lord, for the music that we've heard already, every song. Now it's time to worship you in the preaching of your word. I'd ask you to bless our visitors this morning and every member of this church. Again, I pray for every preacher, pastor, missionary, evangelist, I pray for them. I pray for my pastor, Brother Mike, Lord, he and his dear family. Would you help him as he under shepherds this church? Thank you, God, for placing him here now 14 years. And Lord, if you say you're coming, I pray, God, you'll keep him here until that time you come for your church. I'd ask you to save souls, encourage your people, and give revival in these last days. In Christ's name I pray, amen. You may be seated, and thank you for standing in honor to the reading of God's Word and prayer time. Some time ago, I heard this, and I'd like to share it with you. A little boy was sitting in the general store, and he reached in his pocket and he got out a piece of candy. and he ate that piece of candy. And then a little while, he reached in the same pocket and got out another piece of candy and ate that. He did that for the third time. This man is standing in the store and said, "Son, don't you know that's not good for you? It's not good for you." He said, "Well, my grandpa lived to be 91. He said, "Eating chocolate?" He said, "No, sir, minding his own business." I'll give you this and then I'll give you the message. I want to give you something on thoughts to ponder. It's amazing what you can find good. And I'm talking about good food in church bulletins. I appreciate church bulletins. Came this morning, I got a stack of them. They keep them for me, and we go home and we read them. But I got this out of a church bulletin back in February. It said, "I prayed for faith and thought that someday faith would come down and strike me like lightning. But faith did not seem to come. One day I read in the 10th chapter of Romans, 'Now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.' I closed my Bible and prayed for faith. I now opened my Bible and began to study, and faith has been growing ever since." D.L. Moody. I wrestled with this thought yesterday, sitting at the desk and studying and making preparations, as I always do. And I thought this would be strange, of the thought that God laid on my heart. But since gathering here at Currytown, I know now why God wants me to preach this thought today. I'm preaching on this thought. What we need is Isaiah's vision. Yes. I thought this morning when I gathered here and realized that our pastor had been here 14 years. But God, in watching those pictures on the screen, I'm glad that we have a pastor who has a vision. I'm glad that we have a pastor who has faith. Without a vision, people perish. Without a vision, you'll never grow. And I think about Isaiah. Many times people want to follow man, but man could lead you astray, not intentionally. But God will never lead you astray. I remember as a young man at the age of 23 when God called me to preach. I was pastoring when I was at the age of 24. And God gave me a vision, did not realize that I would be a pastor for 42 years. And I was, because of the vision that God gave me. And then God changed my direction 17 years ago, and that seemed possible, and put me in evangelism. And I'm glad that vision is still growing today. And so this morning, I believe with all of my heart, this young pastor, I mean, our pastor, he's a young man. He's young. He's still in his 40s. Wait till he gets 85. It'll make a difference. But anyway, let me give you the introduction to our message and then the message. We find in verse number 1 mentions the death of King Uzziah. He was the 10th king of Judah, and he was a very godly man. And evidently that Isaiah is disturbed by the death of the great king. After all, he had reigned for 52 years. 52 years. Can I pause here for just a moment? Did you realize this morning, ladies and gentlemen, members of Currytown Baptist Church, after 14 years of Brother Mike being pastor here, every day you get more confidence in him. And you'll love him more. I said to him back in the choir assembly room this morning, I said, "Pastor, the longer you stay here, the more Currytown will get you. Because you just keep on loving, keep on loving." Let me mention this. I'm not going to preach this, so I'm glad. I'm glad there's people that did not build a house in the valley. We got too many that stays in the valley, refuses to get out. But I'm glad we got a pastor has not built his house in the valley. I sound like a politician, don't I? But I'm a preacher. And so we find here that Isaiah Talking about Uzziah now, been a king for 52 years. For Isaiah, the entire nation is ushered in a time of uncertainty, change, and doubt. Never before have you and I lived in a time of uncertainty as we're living in this hour. I think about this on the highway, you're not safe anymore. In your home, you're not safe anymore. On the job, you're not safe anymore. In the church, you're not safe anymore. Where is safe? In the arms of Jesus. He is our protector. He is our refuge in the time of our storms. Apparently, Isaiah had his attention focused on Uzziah. But now that Uzziah is dead, his attention is redirected back to the Lord. Sometimes tragedies happen to get us away from man, to put our direction and our all on God again. So Isaiah had a fresh encounter with God. What happened to Isaiah in this event should happen to us as we put our minds upon the Lord. First of all, we'll notice verses 1 through verses number 4. We need to see what Isaiah saw. First of all, he saw God's position. Isaiah saw God in His power. What we need to do to have revival this week at Kerrtown Baptist Church is to see God in His position. Not our position, but in God's position. He's seen Him in His power. An earthly king may have died, but the Lord still reigns. He saw the Lord in all of His glory. When I see the things in this world, there's not a whole lot for me to brag on, to do a lot of shouting about. But when I look in the Bible, when I get to the place that I want to see God's glory more than anything else in this world, that gives me courage to march on as a pilgrim in these last days, ladies and gentlemen. Again, we find it had been a profound impact on the life of Isaiah. When life seems to fall apart and the scenes, listen, begin to tear apart, always remember we have a God that we serve, a God that's in control. I think of all the heartaches and disappointments that we face in life, but our God, if you're saved, is still in control today. I preached for a young pastor last week. Last week was 38 years I've been going to the Clearview Baptist Church in Rustburg, Virginia. 2 years ago, the pastor's wife passed away. And then he passed away. And they called a young man to be their pastor. He'd been working in that church for 20 years. They called him to be their pastor, doing a great job. The church is growing. Missionaries are growing in number. Offerings are growing. At the dinner table one day, he said to me, he said, "Brother Fry, do you ever get discouraged?" He's young. "Do you ever get discouraged?" I said, "Yes, sir, I do." He said, "I do too." But I said, "Those days will come and go, Brother Zane, because God is greater than our discouragements. God is greater than our disappointments. We need to keep our minds stayed on the Lord." We find Job, the life of Job, he lost everything and God blessed him later. And he lived to be 140 years old. He saw four generations. Why? Because he had a vision to serve God and to walk on with God. And then in Romans chapter 8 and verses 28, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." And all of these afflictions, the things that we see, I'm glad we still press on. Why? Because of the vision. We need to remember just who's in control. Then we find in verses 2 and 3, Isaiah, he saw God's personality. We find the angelic beings in the temple proclaim the holy nature of the God of heaven. Even though sinless creatures were careful to honor the holiness and purity of the Lord, knows that they covered their faces with their wings. They also proclaimed the glory of the Lord. Isaiah finally understood that Uzziah might have been a good king, but the Lord was a holy God, and he alone deserved the glory of all of his life. God deserves that from us today. When I think about this, we need to remember that God and His holiness, our duty before the Lord is to honor His holy nature by living holy lives before Him. We are to recognize His right to glory by giving Him all the glory for everything in our lives. Everything that's happened in my life as a Christian, God allowed that. Everything that's happened in your life as a Christian, God allowed that. Some things that happen we don't understand. But the Bible said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses number 31, whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I still heard that this was not about Uzziah or Isaiah. It was all about God. Today it's not about me, a preacher Mike, a brother Brandon, but it's all about God. If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't be here. He holds us in the palm of His hand. And every breath that leaves our lungs, God does that for us. Every heartbeat that we have, we take for granted, God does that for us. When I think about this, Isaiah learned something. He said it's all about God. And He alone deserved to be in the place of honor and glory. In James chapter 1 and verses number 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Then number 3, Isaiah saw something. He saw God's presence. Now, as I stand before you, I'm feeling a tug from another world. What am I feeling? I'm feeling the touch and the presence of the Master. This little boy was flying a kite on a windy March day, and the kite was above the clouds. This infidel came by, and he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm flying a kite." He said, "I see no kite." "How do you know you're flying a kite?" He said, "Every once in a while, I feel the tug on the other end of the line." We go nowhere without God. A little boy out playing one day, and this infidel came by. And he said, "If you tell me where God is, I'll give you an apple." He said, "Mister, if you tell me where it's not, I'll give you a bushel." I'll tell you, everywhere we go, we're going to see God. We're going to see the presence and the glory of God. And the Bible tells us now, we're told that the house was filled with smoke. This is a symbol of the presence of God. You'll notice that God's train filled the temple. That speaks of His robe. Last Wednesday, as you know, most of us, we travel in a motor coach. And I'm back in the bathroom getting ready for church. And I look out in the living room, and our home is filled with smoke. My wife's sitting in, she ain't said nothing. And all of our gas alarms and smoke detectors, nothing went off. And I said to her, our house is on fire. It's filled with smoke. You could be in, then begin to write your name in there. You know what we began to do? I got my briefcase, got my Bible, my notebook, and my suit and shoes and shirt, threw it out in the car. She got her dress, threw it out in the car. We went outside. This thing's on fire. I called the fire department. He said, "Is there a blaze?" I said, "Sir, it don't have to be a blaze to be a fire." He began to question me. I said, "Sir, just don't come. Let it burn down." Well, why would you call the fire department? Because you called him for help.
That's right.
And then I looked, and this smoke was coming out of our air-conditioned ducts. I cut everything off. Everything was running. But I noticed there was no odor to it. And finally, we put on those fans and got all the smoke out. And then we turned on the other air condition, and it helped us get home. But you know what I learned was that the Freon line had broken and was shooting out on the motor, and Freon has no smell. I said that to say this. Isaiah seen smoke, but it had no smell. The sweetness of the Savior, the sweetness of God, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible teaches us, Uzziah might be gone. Listen, Uzziah may be gone, but the Lord was still there. Isaiah had not been forsaken. We need to remember this truth. Listen, if we're saved, we're never alone. Isn't that wonderful? In the darkest hour of your valley, in the darkest hour of your night, if you're saved today, you're not alone. God's with you. Matthew 28:20. teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And Lord, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13, 5, that your conversation be without covenant, be content with such things as you have. For he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Then number two, we need to sense what Isaiah says. He sensed his own condition in verses number 5. How do we really stand with God today? How do you really stand with God today? We have got to see ourselves and our condition before that we can help anyone else. We've got to do that. The Bible tells us, when Isaiah saw the Lord, he instantly realized that there was a problem with his own heart. When he got a vision of God, let me say, when we get a vision of God, it won't be our neighbor. It won't be our family. It'll be us individually. Once we get a vision of God, Isaiah did not cry out, woe is my neighbor. He cried out, woe is me. Until we are able to see our own failures and our need for repentance before the Lord, we will never come clean. We've heard much about revivals in the last few weeks in Burlington, North Carolina, and Yadkinville, North Carolina, and then up in West Virginia. But now I'm beginning to hear other things. Young preachers attended some of those meetings has now gone out and buying tents hoping that's going to happen to them. What am I saying? Man can't do it. It has to be God. If God don't overshadow us this week, we'll not have revival. It has to be God. It's not what I'm going to do, how many tents, how many churches I'm going to be. It has to be God. We have to have a vision of God, ladies and gentlemen. We must have that. We must have that. Again, as soon as we come clean with the Lord about our own condition, the sooner we'll see our need. Then number two in verses 6 and 7, he senses his own cleansing. Thank God the Lord does not just point out our sins. He also provides a means for our cleansing. With Isaiah, it was an angel with a live coal from off the altar. With us, it's the precious blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me holy? Nothing. It's got to be the blood of Jesus Christ. We find in 1 John 1 and verses 7, 9 through 7. But if we walk in the light as he's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then again, if we ever see him as he is, and see ourselves as we are, then we'll come before him in humility and confess our sins. Then thirdly, verse number 8, we need to say what Isaiah said. He said, I am available. When Isaiah got his mind off of Uzziah, got himself right with God, God was needing someone to go for him. And he says, I'm available. Do you know what we need in our Baptist churches today? Is young men that loves God, surrender to do something for God. Right. We need preachers today. We need missionaries today. Right. We need young ladies to commit themselves to the Lord because, let me tell you, good missionaries and good preachers need good godly women. Right. We need this today. I'm so sick and tired of saying, well, same old, same old. No, I don't have to be what I was yesterday, and neither do you. I church and I have to be what it was yesterday, what it is today, what's going to be tomorrow. How great is our vision to see that we keep on walking with the Lord. My wife and I don't get home much, but we're glad to come home. And I'm glad to stand on this platform this morning, look out across this congregation, see the church almost fill. Why? Because somebody didn't build a house in the valley. Somebody did not let the sickness keep them in the valley. A disappointment keep them in the valley. God gave them a vision. I'm going to walk out of this valley. You know what's so good about a valley? You don't have to stay there. You go through the valley. As long as you stay down there, you're not going to do anything for God. But we got to see that need. As soon as Isaiah gets his heart clean, He hears the call of the Lord to serve him. And Isaiah said, "Here am I." He was saying, "My downtime is over." He said, "I am now ready for service." He was signifying that he was over the death of Uzziah and that his life was on the altar of sacrifice for the glory of God. That's what we need to say when our life is turned down. "Lord, help me to keep focused on you. Help me to keep focused on you." As you see things, and we all see things that would discourage us from time to time. But ladies and gentlemen, it makes no difference what your job is. It makes no difference what your position is in the Lord. We all have valleys to cross. We all have discouraging days. But we got to walk through that valley. Our vision has got to grow for the Lord. It must be. Age has nothing to do with it. But we must have this vision. Someone said to me the other day by telephone, called me from South Carolina. And he said to me, "Brother Fry, how many weeks do you preach a year?" I said, "Last year I was in 57 churches and 48 weeks of meetings. This year I'm in 54 churches, the Lord willing, and 46 weeks of meetings." He said, "I heard some trash on you the other day." I said, "Good. It's time somebody said something about me." I said, "But tell me what the trash was." They said, "Oh, Brother Fry has slowed down. He don't come out behind the pulpit much anymore. And he don't walk across the platform anymore." I said, "That's the kind of trash that you heard on me?" He said, "You know what I told them? How many men at 85 preaches 40-some weeks a year? Preaches every night somewhere." I said, "Well, he's not as active as he used to be." Let me tell you something, folks. Let me tell you something. It's not how fast I move, but it's what comes from the book and what comes from my heart and my soul. This is what's important, ladies and gentlemen. We walk on with God. Keep on serving the Lord. In Romans chapter 12, I want you to notice here now, verses 1 and 2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Now, notice verse number 2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I pray every day for God to renew my mind and fill me with the sweet Holy Ghost of God. And then, as I conclude, Isaiah said, "I'm agreeable. I'm agreeable." Isaiah not only told the Lord that he was ready, but he also mentioned that "I'm ready." He was saying, "Lord, I'm here to do what you want, and I'm willing to do what you want. Send me and let me go do what you want me to do." We've got to get to that place. We've got to get to that place. Church, we've got to get out of comfort zone. We've got to get where God wants us. I will give you this in closing. In January of this year, my wife and I was coming out of Greenville, North Carolina. I'd been down to Calvary Baptist Church. And I have mentioned this lady's name from this pulpit. We have a prayer warrior. Her name is Ira Varna. And in January of this year, she turned 100 years of age. 100. And so her daughter, Jessie, called me and said, "Today we're celebrating Mama's 100th birthday. Can you and Miss Polly come?" I said, "We're coming out of a meeting, but when we get home, we'll drive over to Eden, North Carolina, to celebrate her 100th birthday." When we got there, she's sitting in a wheelchair. But her memory is great. My wife and I walked over to her sister and said, "Do you know us?" She said, "Well, you're Preacher Fry and you're Polly. I'm your prayer warrior of 60 years. Hallelujah. That's what keeps us marching on. What we need today in our church is prayer warriors. It's prayer warriors. If we get those, we'll march on for God. What a thrill it is to know after 60 years, somebody is still your prayer warrior. So we find the world as yet to see what God can do with and for and through us if we are fully and wholly consecrated unto Him. I want the vision that Isaiah had. I need that vision. And children, until we get home, God has a work for all of us to do until we get home. Would you stand, please, all over the church? Our musicians are going to come. And we're going to have an invitation, but I'm going to pray. And I get through praying, our pastor's going to do the invitation. My Heavenly Father, thank you for liberty that's been mine to preach from this pulpit. And I pray that your word has found a lodging place in the heart of the hearer. Save souls today, I pray, and encourage your children. In Christ's name, Brother Pastor.
Honest enough this morning with the Lord, not with me, with the Lord. No one's looking around. You'd slip your hand up today if you're not sure. 100% sure you'd go to heaven if you died today. We'd like to pray for you. Won't come to you. Won't embarrass you. Want to pray for you. Would you do that? Would you say, preacher, would you pray for me this morning? I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven if I died. Is there one? You just put your hand up, put it right back down. Maybe this morning, Christian friend, you've lost your vision. One time you were on target, on fire for God, wanting to see great things accomplished, not for your glory but for His, but somewhere down the line, you've lost that vision, lost that burden, that desire. Maybe you'll come this morning. Father, thank you for what you've done. Thank you for the preaching of the word. God, how it stirred me and encouraged me. Now during this invitation time, speak to hearts. We'll give you all the praise, glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. While he sings, listen, if God spoke to your heart this morning, I want you to come for any reason. Maybe you need to recommit your life to the Lord today. Maybe you never trusted Christ as your Savior. Today would be a good day. We've got altar workers that love to pray with you. Love to pray with you. Listen, if you've got a need, well, the best place to go is to the Lord. How are you going to finish? We all know how we start. Everybody starts with a zeal. Starts with a vision. But how will you finish? How are you going to finish your race? Well, I hope I finish well. Don't hope. Boy, don't hope. Have that vision, that presence of God in your life to know that it's all about Him. Boy, He said it. It's all about Him. Not about you, not about me, not about this church, not about a ministry. It's about Him. What a Savior. If you need to come for any reason, you come.